We all know cats are intelligent. Felix Cat Insurance was able to secretly record two cats on a hidden microphone. Let's listen in.
Did you hear the one about the three dogs at the park?
That's old, like four lives ago. But did you hear about the new pet insurance just for cats from felixcatinsurance.com?
Of course. What do I look like, a dog?
When you're coughing up a furball. Yes. Listen, Felix Cat Insurance plans start at under $1 per day and are as unique as you and me. They call it whisker-to-tail protection.
Even furballs?
Even that. Remember the last time you had a furball? I made a TikTok. It went viral.
Oh, well, that's good. Wait, you're on social media?
There you have it. Felix Cat Insurance. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. FelixCatInsurance.com. Get it? Meow. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit FelixCatInsurance.com/terms.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday night to you. I hope you had a good Monday. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you watched football on Saturday, on Sunday. I hope you watched some basketball. I hope you ate. I hope you enjoyed, the fall. I hope you turned your clock back. Hope you had a good one. Doesn't matter if you had a good one or a bad one. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Shout-outs to everybody listening all over North America on the free Odyssey app, on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM, channel 158, and everybody locked in on a smart speaker. I say thank you. It is Monday night. We got a Monday night football game going on. And to the shock of absolutely no one, the New York Jets don't know what the end zone is. They know how to fumble the football, though, twice. The Chargers are beating the Jets. It's halftime right now. Chargers 17, the New York Jets with 3 points. We've had a busy weekend. We saw some pretty damn good matchups. Cincinnati Bengals beat up the Bills, and Dallas Cowboys lose to the Eagles. Starting off in Germany Sunday morning, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs take care of the Miami Dolphins. We saw Caleb Williams crying. Yeah, there's crying in football, at least in college football. We saw a quarterback crying. Today, we see a manager jumping ship. Craig Counsell goes from the Brewers to the Cubs. I guess being the highest paid manager will do that for you. James Harden just made his debut with the Los Angeles Clippers, and they lost. The defending women's basketball champions in college, LSU, loses to Colorado. Yeah, when is the last time anybody talked about women's college basketball? The championship, and I just did. So we got a lot to do, a lot to discuss, a lot to go through. Jim Harbaugh is still answering questions about cheating scandals. And Aaron Rodgers, by the way, not only do the Jets suck, they could probably use a one-leg quarterback because Zach Wilson still stinks. So we got a lot to do. We'll keep you up to date with the Chargers and the Jets as the game continues on. But before we do anything, it's real simple here. Shep, how are you, man? You doing good?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, JR. How was your weekend?
It was good, man. I'm happy to hear. By the way, folks, if you wanted to know everything that we were going to talk about already, it's simple. Everything is at JR Sport Brief all over the place, all over social media. And if you want to give us a holler tonight, the number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. The New York Jets have turned the ball over twice already in the first half. Garrett Wilson fumbles the ball. Zach Wilson gets stripped. And it's just, it's sad. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I can't forget the Chargers' touchdowns. Austin Eckler had one And then the Chargers were also able to run one in on a punt return. And so Zach Wilson, now that this third quarter is underway, the New York Jets have the ball. He is a whopping 16 of 25 for 120 yards. Very, you know, New York Jets-esque. But before we even move on past that, Shep, you said you were okay. Man, you ran the marathon, New York City Marathon yesterday. Congratulations.
I really appreciate that, JR, and thank you for the shout-out on Twitter as well. Obviously, everyone knows at this point they can follow you on JR Sport Brief among various platforms. And, JR, if you ever have any interest, or there anybody that is out there listening has any interest, this is a life-altering event. And there's magic to it, JR. And there's a reason why you see half the people crying when they finish, because they're in excruciating pain. And then you also see on the flip side, half of people crying because they realize that they did something that they didn't even deem possible. So, JR, if you ever have any interest in doing something like this, and I know you don't play basketball necessarily anymore, but I do know you're still a hell of an athlete. If there's ever any interest in you wanting to run a New York City marathon, I am your guy to talk to, my friend.
Well, thank you. That day will never come, but thank you. I appreciate that. Well, how was your experience? Were you crying, or what were you doing at the end?
Yeah, I was definitely emotional in more ways than one. So you're gonna think I'm crazy. I don't even know if I told you this, but I hosted here. You know, the
did
morning.
Did you do that last year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I expected that to be.
All right. So I didn't get any sleep. You know,
what
Sean,
do you mean you didn't sleep?
I didn't sleep. I ran the marathon on no sleep because...
Wait. You didn't sleep before the marathon?
No.
What the hell were you doing Saturday?
Hosting.
You were here Saturday?
Well, Sunday morning. So I slept...
You hosted Sunday morning.
Correct.
You got off air at what time? 6?
Got off air at 6, yes.
And then you started the marathon at what, 10, 11?
Correct. 10:30? I started the marathon at 10 a.m., so... I slept until Saturday, obviously, but then I prepped for the show. You do a lot of prep for every one of your shows, so you know what that's about. And then I didn't sleep, and I just went on adrenaline and momentum and sheer will. And I said, you know what? We're so busy as a industry, not you necessarily, but most people in our industry, of pointing the fingers at athletes that we think are overpaid, overhyped, and don't do enough in their performance. And it's about damn time people in the media industry walk the talk and actually do something on their own that's athletic. So if I'm going to be here on the microphone, JR, every night, 6 days a week, and be critical of athletes, I better hold myself to the same kind of expectations.
Well, that's nice of you. But when you finished, you went to sleep, right?
When I finished, you have to actually walk an extra 2 miles because the New York City Marathon likes to really torture you. After that, I had to get on the subway where nobody wanted to give up their seat. And
oh, nice.
I am in a poncho and literally cramping and feel like I'm going to faint. And
well, New Yorkers don't care about you, do they?
They do not care about anybody but themselves, unfortunately. It's not to say that there's not wonderful New Yorkers out there, JR, but there are people that do not care less about what you just accomplished. I tried to get across the barricade in order to exit. A woman pushed me and said, "You are not allowed here." I said, "I just ran a New York City marathon. I'm going to go where I want." And then a guy got in my face and said, "You are not going to touch anybody. You're going to go that way with the rest of everybody." And I said, "Excuse me. I don't know if you heard me. I just ran a marathon. If I want to exit this way because I am cramping and I can't stay on my feet anymore, that's what I'm going to do. And if you have an issue with that, please get your boss." They got their boss. They let me go. So I had to be a little.
Damn, you beefing after the marathon.
Well,
sheesh.
JR, I'm going to be honest with you.
26.2 miles.
It's 26.2 miles. Yeah. But what they do, and they got even stricter about it this year, is they. You probably are aware of this. You know, they make you walk an extra 2 miles after you're done when you exit.
I didn't know it was two. I know there's the exit. I know there's a pathway out. I didn't know what happened.
Oh, it ain't a pathway. It's like an extra 5K. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's like an extra mile plus. That's the worst thing you could be doing. I mean, I'm all for cool downs, but when you just ran the length of, a marathon, the last thing you need to be doing is stay on your feet continuously. And that's the gripe and the issue that I have with these people that are organizing this incredible race.
Well, who's going to take it up with the I don't know who the hell it matters. The New York tennis runners or so. Who's going to take it up with the Roadrunners?
Exactly, New York Roadrunners. I mean, I might say something, but in all seriousness, Jared, like you see people.
You want me to curse them out on the fan on Saturday?
No, because I want you to be in good standing with everybody. But
I'm
JR,
I don't care about the running. Fair I'm enough. Not running.
Yeah. Well, you may run someday, but JR. No, Like honestly, like it's like it's a little bit of an exaggeration, and I know it's not going to war, so I don't mean to make light of this, but you feel like it's the closest thing that you could get to a war zone because you do see people while you're walking out of this exit for an additional plus mile.
They got to sit down. They're done.
You see people cook, JR. I mean, they're screaming from the top of their lungs. They're in agony. They're in excruciating pain. And so my only gripe with the New York City Marathon is it's a wonderful event. There's so many great people that come out and support and volunteer. But what they need to do is really keep in mind the runners after the race. And, of course, there's always those ventures that want to get money out of you. So I'm getting, like, an email left and right saying, hey, you can only pay $129.99 for this package. You can pay $100 for this package. Then what they're going to do in a month from now, JR, is they're going to say, hey, 25% clearance off. You can get all photos. So I know it's coming, but it was a wonderful experience. This is a very long way of saying, not after the race did I sleep immediately.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you ran it in what, a four change?
Oh, man, I'm embarrassed. Hey, JR, you're going to be the first to hear this. You ready for this?
No.
I did not train properly. I am getting older now, where I am in my late 30s, and I can't necessarily get by on just sheer and raw athleticism. What I'm going to do is, this is my goal. I'm embarrassed with my time. It was a 4:34. It's embarrassing.
Oh, it sounds okay to me.
It's terrible. JR, you heard it here first. I'm going to do my damnedest to break 3 hours next year.
You're going to go sub three?
That's my goal. That's my goal, JR.
Hey, do me a favor. Do 207, okay?
I can't do 207. JR, can I ask you something?
Are you Kenyan?
This is like a Chris Russo moment. If I break
three. You're going to retire? Go for it. Knock yourself out.
He backed out of everything there. If I break 3 hours, who can I bet that's big enough where, like, that can be something monumental, where, like, someone goes from, like, 4:30 to breaking 3 hours? Because all the time we talk about athletes needing to be at their apex, and so oftentimes it's the lazy radio host that hasn't even broken a sweat in about 2 years.
What are you asking me now?
What should I put on the line? Like, if I can break 3 hours, like, what's something, like how should I wager on this to where it could be, like, interesting?
I don't know. You got to find somebody that cares, Shep.
That's a great point.
You gotta do that. I believe you, so you ain't got no enemy or opponent in me.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Like, should I reach out to, like, the Lakers and say, this is my story. If I can break 3 hours in my late 30s going from 4:34 and I do this X, Y, and Z, can LeBron come on with Shep and JR for, like, 5 minutes? Like, I'm trying to make this really worth my while.
Bro, don't waste your time.
You don't think you do that?
Go. That can be done separately without a thing. And if I'm the Lakers, why do I give a damn about the New York City Marathon? Go talk to the Nets.
Okay.
Like, go ask them for a monetary donation or something.
Well, I'm thinking,
I would say Knicks, but we know the Knicks don't do nothing.
There we go. Like, do we reach out to, like, the iDream Academies that LeBron set up and like, ask to speak to them and say, like, hey, I'm going to pledge to, like, raise this amount of money for this charity, if I can break 3 hours, and I'm gonna give whatever proceeds I make to, like, the iDream Foundation, and, like, LeBron James can get behind it. Like, I'm trying to be creative with this.
Go do it. I'll support it. I wish I was running, but I'm not.
Okay, gotcha.
Go for it.
Well, JR,
knock yourself out.
You have supported
me. You gonna shave off an hour and a half?
That's the goal, JR. And I mean this in all sincerity, man.
Wow.
Thank you for all your support. Thank you for just being you. Thank you for always thinking of me. Thank you for holding my best interest in your shoulders and your career. And I can't thank your fan base enough for every single message and outreach that I got the past 24 hours. So just God bless everyone. And JR, thank you again for allowing me to have this platform every single night to raise awareness to somebody that lost their life at the age of 35 years old to melanoma. So I love you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Ah, no problem. Now you just got to go out there and run the Boston Marathon. What is that, March?
Oh, I didn't realize that was next. Well, you got to qualify. I didn't qualify. My time's not good enough.
When are you going to Berlin?
Well, that's part of the six marathons. So let me break 3 hours in the New York City first.
Wait.
Talk Boston.
You cannot just run the Boston Marathon. You just can't do that.
Oh, you knew. No, see, I know you knew that.
Why can't you go race the Boston Marathon? Not fast enough?
No. So you have to be, well, I'm not fast enough. So you have to be an elite type of runner, or you have to be a citizen of Boston for a certain amount of years. I am not either. If I break 3 hours, so if you break 3 hours next year at the age of 38, what that entails is it gives you about a 70 to 80% chance of qualifying for Boston. There's still no guarantee.
Well, how do you run Berlin? You got to move to Germany.
I don't know how you run Berlin. I know for Boston, there's a specific time barrier that you have to meet. I'm not there yet.
LA has a marathon, right?
All the major cities do. Absolutely.
Don't breathe the air, brother.
But there is the major six. There's Berlin, there's London, there's Chicago, there's New York, there's Boston, and then there's Tokyo. Those are the major six. In order to qualify for Berlin, I haven't looked into that. Quite frankly, I don't feel like spending that much money to fly across the world just to run a marathon.
Oh, it's just over the ocean.
Yeah. Well, listen, JR. I mean, not all of us make JR. You know, JR kind of living. Sure. But JR. But I will tell you this, man. Like, if I do break 3 hours, what I will also promise you is I will cry like Caleb Williams.
What? Listen, go do it, man. You got a whole year, so knock yourself out.
I appreciate you, man. No, but in all seriousness, JR, like, I'm gonna think of how we can be creative about this.
If I were the one running, I would say a lot of things, but I'm not the one doing it, so I can't do anything but say, hey, I'm here.
And, yeah.
Hey, look, man, we do a I don't know how long it is. I don't know how long. 5 miles here. In Atlanta, longer. They do one. They
you guys
do it
don't
on,
have, wait a minute. Atlanta's huge. Y'all don't have a marathon?
It's not like a full marathon.
Really?
No. Atlanta is huge, but it's sprawling huge. Like, they do, what is it, 4th, not 4th of July. What's that other one? May 31st?
Memorial Day.
Yeah, they do something.
If you were to tell me, JR, that places like Bangor, Maine, right? Or like Anchorage, Alaska didn't have marathons. I can understand that. But the weather is so welcoming for a marathon in Atlanta. That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, well, what do you want from me?
I think that can be a cash cow for the city of Atlanta.
Wait, there's a full in on it. There's a full marathon here.
So. That's what I would have thought because
yeah,
Atlanta,
but nobody,
there's too many
it's
people.
It's not the one that people care about, bro.
Well, they care enough. Look, New York City is the biggest marathon in the world.
How many people ran that thing yesterday? 40, 50,000?
It was 60. I believe it was over 60. I think 51,000 finished.
51,000 people.
51,000 plus. And there were millions of people that actually showed up and watched.
What's the funniest sign that you saw?
I'm just here for the beer.
Somebody had a sign that said, I'm here for the beer?
Yes.
Somebody said, "Run like your ex is chasing you."
I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
I would have ran faster if I saw that one.
Yeah, some of the best signs that I saw, I can't repeat here on the radio. But congratulations to you for running the marathon.
Thank you.
New York City streets are not fun to run on. And listen, man, kudos to you. That's absolutely amazing that you did that. Thank you, Shep, and for sharing that story. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Shep ran the New York City Marathon, and we got a New York City team. I guess they represent New York City. They do. They suck. They're not winners like Shep. The New York Jets are still losing here to the Chargers, 17-6. And speaking of losers representing New York City, congratulations, the Knicks just won. But also, the New York Giants. Can things get any worse for them? They did. I'll tell you what happened on the other side. We're just getting warmed up. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. JR
wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Monday Night Football, the Chargers lead the Jets 17-6. The New York Jets are trying to get into their own red zone to at least maybe possibly put a touchdown on the board. And between the New York Jets and the Giants, I don't know who's worse. Well, let me correct myself. I know who's worse. It's the New York Giants. They're worse. But the New York Jets' offense is just as pathetic. At least the New York Giants, they have more of an excuse, okay? Daniel Jones, who comes back from a bruised, busted-up neck yesterday, misses three games. He comes back, and he has a torn ACL. He goes down at the end of the first. He comes back out at the second, crumbles to the floor, and the New York Giants lose to the Raiders. A first-time head coach, Antonio Pierce. And New York Giants couldn't throw the ball with DeVito out there. And they got nothing. They lose 30-6. The Raiders were literally celebrating after the game by smoking cigars in the locker room. I guess for the first time all season long, now that Josh McDaniels is gone, the Raiders had something to celebrate. Josh Jacobs, 98 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Raiders had eight sacks. Max Crosby had three of them. It was just embarrassing. And then we all learned today, really, that Daniel Jones is out with an ACL tear. They just gave this dude $160 million. The Giants got a record of 2-7. They're going nowhere. This is what Brian Daboll said today with his announcement.
We got the MRI back, so he has a torn ACL. We have DeVito. Barkley's on a practice squad, and you know we've been back for less than 12 hours. So I'll have some meetings today with Joe. As the day goes on, and we'll see where it goes.
Pick up some bum off the street. And at this point, they might as well lose the rest of the game so they can get their hands on a quarterback, because you can't just cut Daniel Jones. It's going to be cost prohibitive for a man who's in year one of a four-year deal. And so whether it happens to be Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., Caleb Williams, if the New York Giants are in a position to snatch up a QB, even though the New York Giants need the world, I think you take your chances on a QB if you find someone that you think you can go out there and roll the dice with. Brian Daboll, not a happy head coach, having to discuss an injury to his young quarterback who can never stay healthy. Antonio Pierce, he was on the opposite end, picked up his first career coaching victory. I don't know how many of them there will be after this season, but Antonio Pierce, he was happy that they whooped up on the Giants.
This is a great team win. This is a great win for Raider Nation, the fans, our players, our organization. I'm proud to have the opportunity to coach these gentlemen, and we're going to do it again next week.
Yeah. The Giants are pathetic, man. They got the Cowboys next. The Cowboys are going to be looking for some get back after losing to the Eagles. They got the Commanders. They have the Patriots. They got the Packers. I think that's supposed to be a primetime game. I expect that game to be flexed the hell out of primetime. And the Raiders, well, they take on these garbage New York Jets in Las Vegas. So that should be interesting. Darius Slayton, a wide receiver on the New York Giants who might as well not exist because there's no one to throw him the ball. Obviously not happy that his quarterback is done.
Disappointing. You know, you don't ever want to see any of your teammates go down. But for me personally, you know, being here my whole career with DJ and kind of just a natural connection at receiver and quarterback guys.
Look, I said at this point, both the New York Jets and the Giants just need to go out there and combine teams. Like, they need to combine rosters so we can, well, a defense would be absolutely amazing. Jets have a good defense. Giants have some great difference makers. The offenses are pathetic, man. Like, this is sad. Like, New York City deserves better than these two crap teams running around out there trying to figure things out. And so last year for the New York Giants, 9-7-1 and going to the postseason, beating the Minnesota Vikings, all fool's gold. And the worst of what could have possibly happened has happened. Daniel Jones goes back to being just hurt all the time. Whether it's a bruised neck. Now he comes back and he tears an ACL. And Saquon Barkley tore his ACL. And now Saquon's back. And I guess Saquon will have another high ankle sprain next. Like the Giants season is lost. Like what they could have done last year. They're going to have to do this go around because they're not winning anything. And it's not going to be no gigantic contracts handed out. And, yeah, the New York Giants didn't trade Saquon, and now I guess they got to go ahead and pay him, I don't know what, $10 million plus to be on a losing team? There should be no reason the New York Giants aren't selecting at the top of the draft. Now, do they want to go ahead and get a quarterback? Sit one of these young guys that there's no guarantee that it's going to work? Because Daniel Jones ain't going to work. I mean, by the time that the Giants get rid of Daniel Jones or ready to eat the back end of his contract, the Giants are still going to suck. You might as well go out there and get a young QB, pay Daniel Jones until you can let him loose, and roll the dice. The New York Giants are in a full reset. They ain't going nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And poor Caleb Williams, I mean, if he's crying after loss to Washington, is he someone that could play in New York? Not too big of a deal. Hey, Shep, did you find any issue with this dude crying after the game?
None. I'm trying to. I have an issue. I have an issue that he didn't leave himself opening for questions when he was crying. I felt like he dismissed himself prematurely. So I didn't like that because I think he faced the music. But I have no problem with him being vulnerable.
Yeah, and I heard plenty of people say, oh, he's out here crying, and is an NFL team going to want to draft? Listen, a man's going to get drafted. And I know the defense for USC has been hot garbage and getting rid of the defensive coordinator. So has he had to pick up more of the slack? Yeah, I guess. And I got no problem with him being emotional. He ran up into the crowd with his family and covered up his face as he boo-hooed. And, afterwards, yeah, he did sit in a press conference, which certainly looked very professional to me for all the money that he's making. And he decided that he didn't want to participate really in answering too many questions. You know what? This is what we're going to do. The phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to talk about Caleb Williams on the other side of the break. We're going to hear from him from that press conference. We're going to get into Craig Counsell just shocking the hell out of everybody by now being the manager of the Cubs. We're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh, who is, ready to sue if there's a big enough punishment coming. We'll talk about the Chiefs and the Eagles looking like the cream of the crop in the AFC and NFC. We got a lot to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First off, I just want to say mad respect for your show. You always got a lot of good points. I agree with a lot of things you say.
I just want to say I love your show. Me and my grandpa listen to it every night.
I needed a JR fix tonight, and I'm glad that you're on.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. Monday Night Football. What can I say? New York Jets, they may be down more than 17-6 right now. The Chargers trying to march their way into the red zone. So we'll keep you up to date on that game as it continues on. Before we did go to break, we talked about the other New York team. The New York Giants, they're without Daniel Jones for the rest of the season. It's official. He has a torn ACL. He's probably going to be out maybe at the beginning of next season, or he might be back right on time. It seems that athletes return faster from ACL tears, than years prior. And I said that the New York Giants, they should be out there if they have an opportunity to go and select a quarterback in the draft. And there are going to be quite a few quarterbacks available, including the man who won the Heisman last year. And I don't know about this year, especially when you're crying in the stands after a loss, and that's Caleb Williams. He still has amazing numbers this season, almost 3,000 yards passing, 28 touchdowns to go along with only 4 interceptions. But when you think about the pace that he was on earlier in the season, it looked like he might match close to the damn near 50 touchdowns that he threw last season. But his numbers are comparable to other dudes like Bo Nix, who has 25 touchdowns, or Michael Penix, who has 26. And so it's not a runaway here for Caleb Williams on USC, who, quite frankly, after losing to Washington this past Saturday, they ain't going nowhere. And he was able to go and throw for 300 yards to go along with 3 touchdowns. But he was real emotional after the game, going up and greeting his family. Mom putting like a card in front of his face so no one could see him kind of weeping into her arms. And it was a big deal. It was a big to-do, people seeing him be emotional and cry, even though we did not see his face. But by the time Caleb Williams went to the post-game press conference, he was joined by about 4 or 5 teammates, who the majority of them sat down, and he kind of stood up against the wall. And he's leaning back against the wall, and he's kind of like, I'm here because I have to be here. I'm just here so I don't get fined. He's giving Marshawn Lynch type energy. And then, you know, he was ultimately asked, like, well, how you feeling? What are you going to do? What are you going to do to get over the loss? And all he could think about was going home. Listen to this.
I want to go home and cuddle with my dog and watch some shows. I don't know what I like, you know, we lost the game. Something to work hard for throughout months, years, to have big games like this, try and go win, play your best. Each and every one of us, we came out with the loss today. So emotionally, I want to go home and I want to lay with my dog.
He didn't, Shep, how come you didn't say anything about studying for finals? Why didn't he say anything about that?
You're a funny guy, JR.
I'm just trying to figure out. He's a student athlete. I know he's making, what, like $2-3 million a year? He can go home and study. I was waiting for that. But, yeah, we know student athletes making a few million. He pays somebody to study for him. Look, I have no issue with this dude going out there and boo-hooing and crying, because at the end of the day, what he does out on the field is going to speak more for him than anything that takes place in the stands. Now, I understand not everyone shares that sentiment. They're going to be general managers that don't share that sentiment. But if he can go out there and light guys up, people aren't going to care. I mean, I don't want to say this is a new world and a new era. Caleb Williams had to defend wearing nail polish, you know, about a season ago, months ago. Not something that I would do, but hey, man, if he can go out there and throw 50 touchdowns, I don't think NFL teams are going to care. And in times, I don't want to say they're changing, but they are. My apologies for the cliche. And so as long as Caleb Williams can go out there and throw 50 touchdowns, I think teams are going to be more concerned with, I don't know, a called regression as opposed to him going up in the stands. I got no problem with it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Kane is here from D.C. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
How you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Well, I think I speak for both of us. We're good. What's up?
I'm doing well. As far as Caleb Williams crying after the game, I was born in 1986. Yes, I have a problem with him crying on the field. I absolutely do. I most certainly do. As a leader, you don't ever let your men see you shake, ever. You don't. And not to mention, look, I'm from Southeast. I'm from D.C. You don't run around crying, coming from where we at, and having people think that's how we get down. Second, I heard you say, hey, it may not affect them. Yeah, you can say that, but I'll say Carson Wentz. This dude was MVP candidate, and now he's looking for a job because of his mental. If you cannot make it when stuff gets tough, which it always does, no matter what you're doing in life, you will perish. No, there's no room for that type of weakness. You're crying, you let everybody see it. After then, your mom had to hide you. What are you for? Nah, you need to get over that, Holmes. You need to get over that. You need to toughen up. You need to take that nail polish off, and you need to stop crying.
Okay. Well, thank you, King, for calling from D.C. I don't think anybody cares if he throws 4 and 5 touchdowns in a game. Daniel's calling from Maryland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Hey, how's it going?
It's going damn good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I honestly have the complete opposite opinion. I mean, are we going to talk about Aaron Donald crying on the field and say he's emotionally not able to play anymore? I mean, like, what? I don't understand how this guy can go out and play every single game. They're ranked preseason number 6 in the country. They're supposed to play for a national championship. And granted, even a Pac-12 championship, they get eliminated from that. Of course he's going to be upset. Is he supposed to smile and run off the field like nothing happened? I mean, I get it. People are going to be upset. He's crying on the field. It looks bad. But he's going to go out and he's going to play, and he's probably the best quarterback prospect that I've seen in the last couple of years, to where if these GMs feel a certain way about it, go ahead and pass up on them, and you'll regret it in a couple of years. I mean, I don't understand the stigma of, like, this mental toughness that these guys are supposed to have. If you lose a game, you lose your third game of the season, they're supposed to fight for a national championship. He's allowed to be upset.
You know, I agree with you, Daniel. Thank you for calling from Maryland. And this is where I think things get a little dicey here. I don't think it matters if the players don't care. And I would really tend to think that if I'm in the USC locker room, I'm looking at Caleb Williams and I'm going, he's the best player on our team. He's one of the best players in the country. I think most of the dudes in that USC locker room, I think they all understand that, hey, if anybody is going to be successful, he has the chance of being the most successful dude in this entire room. And so I don't think there's a lack of respect from his peers, because his peers know, hey, he's the reason why we're actually winning games, why we're even in, it's him. And so, yes, if this was the professional ranks, I might think a little bit different. Okay, how many times have we seen, and I know it's not football, it's basketball only, oh, less physical, right? How many times we see these dudes crying at the NCAA tournament? Young men crying on the bench after being eliminated. And, yeah, he didn't go to a tournament. There is no college football tournament. We know we have the playoff, but we ain't pushing out 64 and 68 teams. He's not going to play for a Pac-12 championship. He wouldn't cry. Boo-hoo, what's the big deal? And I know it's football, and no crying in baseball, and no crying in football. Boo-hoo. It's real simple. It's a very simple equation. As long as that man can throw that rock, no one is going to care.
Can I ask you a question, JR?
Go for it.
So I'm so glad you brought up those examples, because you're spot on. The two individuals I think of when it comes to crying in sports, the ultimate alphas, are LeBron after the 2016 title with the famous Cleveland, this is for you, when the broadcast decided to go away from him for some reason, but we all could tell he was crying. And then Michael Jordan, not because his father died when he won the title in 96, but I'm talking about that first title when he's on the ground hugging that trophy and you just see emotion just absolutely bawling from him. And so is it okay if you win? You can cry. That's acceptable. But if you lose and it's heartbreaking and devastating, therefore, it's not okay to cry? Like, I don't understand the difference.
Well, we know that already. It's tears of joy, and it's tears of pain and tears of weakness. And it's not even just a sports thing. It's a societal thing. You can cry tears of joy. It's okay. But you can't cry after you lose, because there's no crying.
But aren't they emanating from the same thing, JR? Because there is an overwhelming amount of care and time and dedication that you put into it, and therefore your emotions, because of how much you're invested into it, it just gets the better of you. Like, no. I think this is a great sign if you are a Caleb Williams proponent and supporter.
No, it's not the same, because when you lose or you fall down or you fail, society tells you that suck it up, get back up and go. And so nobody wants to see the guy crying. Nobody cares about anybody's problems.
Well, Jared,
suck it up and keep on going.
Sure, but you also remember this, and infamously, you remember 2011. Remember the last time we saw Eric Dampier was he was standing next to Chris Bosh when Chris Bosh was falling down crying?
Yeah, to pick him up off
exactly.
The ground. And Chris Bosh got clowned.
And yet what happened the very next season? He just happened to get the most important rebound in the history of Heat franchise, right? So, like, we got to be careful with the examples we're using for so many people that are attacking Caleb Williams right now, because crying shows how much you care and that ultimately that energy is going to go into rectifying whatever the problem that exists is.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to say, but reality, I agree with you. Reality is different. Like, if somebody is crying, people are going to clown them. This is just, it's just the world that we live in. Like, hey, somebody's crying, and crying is showing weakness. It's just, it's what it is. It don't matter to me. I don't care. Like I said, nail polish, touchdowns, his peers don't care. I think you'd find talent evaluators who care more. You know, someone who said they were born in 1986, he's like, oh, man, that ain't that old, bruh. Like, there's enough people running around who were born in 86 wearing nail polish and playing football, or maybe not playing it, but it is, yeah, the times change, eras change. You know, are you going to catch me wearing nail polish and crying? No, I don't care, but if different strokes for different folks, can you go out there and get the results? And as long as he can get the results, ain't no big deal. 855-212-4CBS. Marshall is here from Milwaukee, where there was a guy who just left Milwaukee for Chicago. What's up, Marshall?
Well, good evening, guys. I've been waiting a while, but I've enjoyed every minute of your conversation. It's been very fun to listen to, and all the different viewpoints. I'll get into the crying thing another time, but just a quick, I'm a big tennis guy. You want to talk about somebody that had to face the music today. It was Jessica Pegula after Swiatek destroyed her 6-1, 6-love. It was tough to watch, but I'll tell you what, Swiatek's an incredible talent. But Jessica Pegula was just so classy. She faced the music and, you
Marshall,
know, still had a great tournament. And
Marshall,
everything.
I got to be honest, Marshall. It is, let's see, it's November 6th. You got to hit me up next year about the tennis right now. Sorry about that.
You
Marshall.
Bet. That's fine. But she faced the music very classy.
Well, her dad's team, they lost, the Buffalo Bills.
Yep, I know.
Hey, Marshall, hold on. You wasted some time on tennis. I got to get you on the other side of the break, okay?
Okay, we'll talk about Craig Counsell.
Okay, all right. Hey, Shep, what was it? You telling me about Pegula? I mean, tennis?
Well, Jessica,
right now in November?
So I was on the phone, so I missed some of that, but I know she's the highest-ranked American female tennis player. That I know.
It's November.
Coco, right. There's Coco Gauff and then there's Pegula. But to your point, you inspired him that much. He wanted to bring out an individual sport to make his reference.
It's November.
Well, the Australian
French Open.
French
Open, Wimbledon,
The Australian
US
Open's coming
Open.
In 2 months. It's almost there. Djokovic just won Paris.
Don't hit me up at the beginning of the year, man, when we get to Australian Open. Ain't worried about that right now. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Newsflash, the New York Jets are pathetic, losing to the Chargers right now, 20-6. The game can't end soon enough. Less than 5 minutes left. I'll get to more of your calls. Hey, Bill Belichick sent some funny things. We'll hear from him talk about Craig Counsell here on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Ew.
Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.